said password.
Mute everyone on there. Mute everybody.
Yeah, I guess.
You can't hear?
I do. No.
One second.
That was the mic.
No, can you hear me?
Can't hear anything.
No? Can you hear now?
Can you hear? Can you hear it?
Can you hear now?
I thought we could start here, I thought we were next.
Fine, very good, okay, so mute everybody, please.
We should run home and dock.
What kind of person you took you?
Yeah, it's not a TV board.
Okay, good morning. Still no sound there.
Can't hear. Why is there no sound? I'm mute. You can't hear? Sound, you can hear.
I can hear you. Turn your mic.
Right, you can hear, so can you mute everybody, please?
Good morning. First of all, I'd like to say it's a tremendous pleasure to be able to be back here in the Beis Medrash to give the Shem back. You know, the Minhag of Yisrael is in the summer months, we say Pirkei Avos. The initial Minhag, the Ikar Minhag brought down, the Minhag Kodem of the Goyim was between Pesach and Shavuos. Last week's Perek actually was an addition, but not part of Mishnayos that Rabbi Yehuda Nosi was Masada. And the Akdonah Shanu Chachomim, the Shoyna Mishnah, Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem, B'Mishnosom, is an introduction to the Perek, which is actually a Braisa of Seyder Yazuta, Kal Yerabosi, which were added in for the 6 week prior to Matan Torah. Now, we know in Avos is generally not discussing halachos. And yet, every man de Omar is quoted by name. What's the reason why you're quoting a man de Omar by name? He's telling you Musa, he's telling you Hanhag Midas Tovus. We don't need to know whether halacha is like him or not. The Torah says, the Mefarshim will say that in Avos, the man de Omar who says the memra is teaching us that memra. There's a hu haya oimeh. If Hillel, the Amvasar, is saying, have a mitamide shel Aaron, which is, Hillel reflects that. And there's a vote in last week's parasha, the king has two Sifrei Torah with him. One of them has to be with him the whole time. It should be together with him, and he has to look into it. And there's a question, is Sefer Torah in Lashon HaKodesh, is it Lashon Zohar or is it Lashon Nekevah? Can be sometimes one, could be sometimes the other. But in the same sentence, to change from Lashon Nekevah to Lashon Zohar, V'hoisa imoi, Lashon Nekevah, V'kora voi, Lashon Zohar, Kei Mechayim. In the same phrase, to change, Ein ze oimer elo dar sheni. And I heard the Peshat, is that the Melech has to take the Sefer Torah around with him. He's supposed to learn from the Sefer Torah. But he also has to check that the Torah that he's reading, the Torah that he's learning, is reflected in him himself. The Hoysa Imoy, the Koravoy, is referring to the Melech himself. The Koravoy, he has to look in himself and read in himself. Is this consistent with the Torah that I'm reading and I'm learning and I'm teaching? As a Melech, he has to reflect the Torah that he's carrying around with him. It says Ramea Shapiro, and that's the title of the Mishnah. We've got a Braisa now, which has been added into Pirkei Avos. So that's all very nice for the Mishnah. So what about the Braisas? Shonu Chachomim Bolshein HaMishnah. The names of the Chachomim were also inserted into Lashon HaMishnah. Baruch Asher Bacha Bohem Uve Mishnosom. Because they reflect. And I once heard that the Gemara Bracha says that Shmuel Ezra, Shimon HaPikoli was Masadrit if they were going to be young. There was a Tekana Shmuel Ezra, a whole Seder. And they needed to institute a 19th bracha that we have, the Birkas HaTzidoikim. They were suffering, they were being shepherded, whatever it was, the Tzidoikim, the Minim, whoever it was at that time. Says Rabbi Gamliel, who's going to be misak in that? Omad Shmuel HaKotan. The Hiskin Birkas HaTzidoikim, the bracha, the Lama Shimon that we have, comes from Shmuel HaKotan. What was the problem? They were misada 18 brachas, they need another bracha. Who's going to do it? What's going on? So they came to misada Birkas HaTzidoikim, Birkas HaMinim. You need somebody who's got the Nikius. the Reinkite, the Taras Halev, that it's called Kulei Kovid Shemayim here. There's no personal vengeance here. There's no personal gratification in that I see something happening against my minion. No. If you're going to mix in your own anything personal, you can't be mistaken of Brichas Elohim. Who can do it? Who can do such a thing? Shmuel HaKotan was the one who said, "Bin foil oivacha al tismach." If Shmuel HaKotan said it, then that was him through and through. Amar Shmuel HaKotan v'hiskin, and he was mistaken the bracha. But in the sixth period that we said last week, Reb Shua ben Levi, in second Mishnah, says, "Chol yom v'yom bas kol yotzis ma'achoyev." Rishuma Levi says there's a basko crying out every day about the albina shel Torah, the bizyonis, the busha of Torah. What was Rishuma Levi, and why does that reflect him? The Gemara in Ksubas tells us that Rishuma ben Levi was the one who went to the people who were diseased. They were considered to be contagious, and they were considered to be dangerous, and he went, and he came to close contact with them, and he taught them Torah. And he was convinced that his Torah teaching would protect him from any possible risk, esakono. Rav Shimon Levi was the one who felt the pain, the boinish al Torah, the pain of the bittul Torah. He was one who could, of the madrega, who could put himself at risk. And conversely, he felt the need to teach Torah so much, he's prepared to put his life at risk, so sure that the Torah would protect him, he's the one who can say, "Oy lehem nebriyas v'shavoyin shal Torah." We're not on that madriga, and I'm not suggesting anyone goes and does that, but at least we can zicha feel part of the v'shavoyin shal Torah the past few months, the bittul of the yeshivas. Yes, Zoom is nice, teleconferencing is good, it's all very wonderful, but there's nothing like coming back to a Beis Medrash, coming back to a normal forum to be here, face to face, to be able to say shir, to have people listening to the shir, and I'm grateful for it. And there's no doubt, as we said, there's an additional schar, there's a lefum tzara agro. Once you've had the comfort of being at home, your coffee next to you, you have to get up, you have to come to the Beis Medrash, you have to put on your trousers, v'chula. Yeah. So yeah, you have to come to the lefum tzara agro, no doubt. There's an additional schus. And it's a privilege for me to be part of it. Now, what I want to talk about is a story, an incident that happened to me. It might have been told over in brief in this forum before, but I want to use it as a springboard, a slightly different angle. And the story actually took place to me, so I feel I have a right to say it over, even if someone else may have hijacked it. The story took place when I was in America a few weeks ago, and I had the problem with my shoe, and I went to a cobbler to get it sorted. And when I was there, I said to the fellow, "I need my shoe fixed, please. And I've got a problem, sort it out." So he looks at this shoe, and he says, "I only do good work. It's going to take you Sunday, come back to me." So I said, "Sunday, come back to you. I need my shoe fixed. What am I going to do? I've got no shoes here. Fix it now, or fine, well, I don't know, do something else with me. I cannot fix it now, I fix it Sunday. So what do you want me to do?" "One moment, what size are you?" "I don't know, whatever size." Okay, he goes back to the back of the shop, rummages around, and he comes back with a pair of shoes. "These shoes, you can have them, $46. Very good shoes. $46 you can have them." And I look at them, and I look at him, and I say, "Oh, what's the story with these shoes?" So somebody brought these shoes in for repair, and they've not come and collected them, and the work was $46. That was how much my job. I want to get paid for my job. You pay me $46 for the work, you can have the shoes. Okay, you want them? No, thank you. Why not? Because they're not yours, you can't sell them. I didn't even know the fellow was Jewish at the time. He said, "I need kasher. What do you mean? I paid for my work. I'm entitled to get paid for my work. I worked. I did the work. He asked me the job." Okay, so he says, "Okay, forget it. I want something else. Okay, in fact, we'll sort something out. Sort something else out." And then, triumphantly, he pulls out his slip when he gives every customer, and he says, "See, on the slip, it says at the bottom of the slip, no responsibility held for items not collected after 30 days. See, It's been more than 30 days, it's been nearly a year now since the guy's come. I phoned him, I can't collect him.
Who says he can write that?
He wrote it, that was the deal.
Yeah, but it's not halacha thing, it's not signed.
It's not signed contract.
What do you mean? These are the terms.
Go to Yiddishit, couple of questions.
So what's the need?
You can write any agreement you want.
Yeah, it's a contract. By contract or in it?
You find something, you've got to look after it.
I remember things of myself. What's the likelihood of these shoes being worth $47? But his job, the work that he does is $47, but these shoes, they're either worth $100 or they're worth $5. But $47, so either the person's shoes, are you ripping him off by selling them for $47, you should be selling them for $100, or you're ripping me off by selling me a $5 shoe for $47. But, and then afterwards, when I walked out, I thought it wasn't right. I'll tell you why later, why I had Hirurei Tshuva. And afterwards, we'll see that perhaps Ataka made a mistake and I really was right in the first place. So the Be'etz and the Shaila is, it happened to me in that particular shape and form, but it comes up in, it's not uncommon at all, and it's particularly awkward for people who are fixing large appliances. Someone has to fix a mixer or a computer. Someone brings it in for repair, and the guy does the repair, he's supposed to collect it within a week. And it's just sitting there in the shop, and Taka hasn't got room for this mixer or this computer or thing, and it's stuck out there. And the shaila crops up. So the person who's doing this repair, the technician, has a number of options to himself. Number one, can I just chuck it out? He's not coming, he's not collected it. I can't have it sitting here. Number two, let's say I can't. Can I at least sell it? I'll sell it, I'll get a good price and we'll sell it. And the money will belong to the owner, and I'll take over, I'll deduct whatever is due to me. Number three, another question. The guy comes back and he gets time. You know the story of the fellow, he gave him a pair of shoes, he found a ticket for a pair of shoes that are given him for repair. It was many years ago. And there's an argument between his wife, whose shoes was it? And each one, if it would have been me, I would have collected the shoes. And his wife said, if it would have been me, I would have taken the shoes. You're the schlepper here. Kids up, we'll go along to the shoe shop, we'll get the pair, and we'll see exactly whose shoes it is. So gives him the ticket, the guy rummages around the back, comes back a few minutes later and says, I'm sorry sir, not ready yet. Yeah. I got upon him. The shaila is, he comes back and he wants them now, he wants the shoes. So the guy says, you should know, you gave it in last year, but since you've given it in, I have to tell you, price of repairs have changed. Now when I do repairs, I do the same repair, I charge more. The prices of the market has changed, not me. You go around everywhere, you look around, you'll see this repair now costs more. If I would have known that you're coming to get it now, I wouldn't have repaired it for you the price of then. I would have repaired it for the price of now. But I have to repair a year ago and get paid a year later the prices of a year ago when the prices have changed now. Nochashai says, listen here, you got this huge chefster sitting here in my thing. I ain't got storage for it. You want to leave your computer or your mixer sitting on my shelf for a year, you pay storage space. So that's really the options which are available to a person in this situation. And the question is, in halacha, what is the proper approach? Here's a Mishnah in Bon Mitzia, the Peyom base. And the Mishnah says, a tradesman, someone who's given something into repair, a technician, has got the status of a shomer socher. What's a shomer socher? A shomer socher tells us the level of responsibility that a person has to cover someone's item, the duty of care that's required. There's a shomer chinom, and a shomer socher, someone who's paid to look after something, is considered to have a higher degree of responsibility, a higher degree of liability, than someone who's looking after an item being unpaid. So, someone who's doing a job for somebody, and he leaves his item in his care, I need my computer, I need my mixer, I need my shoes in your care, and let's say they get stolen in the duration of the time that I left for the repair. If it's a Shema Socho, he's chayev. If it's a Shema Chinom, he's potter. Says the Mishnah, an Umun is a Shema Socho. Till when does that last? Says the Mishnah continues. Kulon she'omru, tul eshelcho, v'havei mois, says, I've done the job. Take your item, pay, Shema Chinom. So at that point, during the duration of the repair, because one is not finished, because one is not given a notification that the job has been done, as soon as he notifies the person, the job has been done, take your item and pay. At that moment in time, he still has a duty of care, but it's lowered to the level of Shemekhinu.
If he says it's ready for tomorrow, then that's like...
Yeah, maybe it'll be ready. He said it's ready, yeah. He doesn't have to say it's ready now, because it's ready tomorrow.
Automatically.
Well, Rishonim clarify and Rishonim explain that the wording of the Mishnah and the ordering of the word of the Mishnah is critical. He said, take the item, v'havei mois. That means I'm not holding the item as a hostage to make sure, as a security, to make sure I get my payment. You take your item and pay me. Pay me when you want. So that means I have no benefit from the fact I'm holding the item. I'm releasing the item. You're welcome to come and collect it. Pay when you want. You owe me the money. Fine. In that instance, you're a Shema Chinom. Why? Because he has no benefit from the holding of the item. Worry to reverse the order. Worry to say, Havei Mois. V'tul Eshelcho, the item is ready for collection. As soon as you pay, you can have your item. At that point, says the Rishayim, no, he's a Shema Socho. Why? Because the fact that you have the benefit of the security of knowing that you will get your payment, Yena cannot get his item back, will not release, you will not release the item unless he has paid. That benefit, that Hano, is enough to maintain the status of Shema Socho. There is another option that Rishonim bring. A person can say, take your item, and I do not want to know about it. I do not want it in my possession at all. I don't want it. I do not want to look after it. I don't want any duty of care. Says Rishonim, if you use that wording, in that case, you're not even a Shemichino. You got no duty of care, no responsibility. You can notify the person, I'm not interested in your item. It's ready, take it. I do not want to look after it. So, there are three possibilities.
When he brings it to repair, he says, I don't want to take responsibility on it. I'll prepare it for you.
Even cutting the street.
We'll get to that. We'll get to that. We'll get to these. So the wording is critical. And essentially, three options that we show you. If a person says, you may take the item, and you can pay later. He's not absolving himself of all responsibility. That means there is a degree of acquiescence to allow the item to remain in his property. And look after it. I'm not holding a hostage. You can come and take it when you want. I'm not demanding security. I'm not demanding anything in return. But yeah, you can sit here. Fine. So in that case, it's a much lower level of responsibility. Responsibility of Shema Chinom. You're only going to be chayv if you zmamash peisheah. Where he says he is holding it as security, he's not going to release the item until he receives payment. In that case, he's a Shema Socho. He's got a full responsibility of an umun. If it gets stolen, it gets lost, it's his responsibility. Why? Because the security of having the item is considered a hano, which makes him to a Shema Socho. If he says specifically, I no longer wish to have any responsibility for this item, take it. So we shouldn't even say, in that instance, he's not even a Shema Chinom.
So even
a Peshia, even a Peshia. A Peshia will be chayv, not midin shomer. The Peshia of a shomer goes beyond other mamazik. Obviously, if he smashes it, he'll be chayv midin other mamazik. Peshia is a responsibility which goes beyond general other mamazik. It means I left my shop open, I didn't lock my shop door, and someone came in and helped themselves to it. So you can't be mechayv in other mamazik. At best, it's a groma maybe, probably even less than that. Right. But the pshia of a shomer does entail certain responsibilities. That means a shomer chinam has to look after the item. So that's the So that's the option, shall open to an woman.
Now, disclaimer.
If he has a disclaimer, then depending what the disclaimer says, then that would be possibly very effective. But in this case, in this particular case, I walked into the store. I didn't see any signs, any particular disclaimer or any. It'll be advisable. We'll get to that. But 1 minute. Let's go on one stage at a time. Let's assume. The woman said, I've finished the job, I have no responsibility. It could well be that the detail on the slip, that terms or conditions which say after 30 days we are no longer responsible for items which are left here, would fall into that category of a statement of saying clearly, I do not want to look after your item. No responsibility will be held. And a person can say, I don't want to have responsibility. And even when he's supposed to be a Shem HaSachar, could be, he can say that I don't have responsibilities. And that's the condition that made up originally. But after 30 days, when the job has been done, and he says, I no longer have responsibility. See, it's a bit of an interesting one, this, because we know that no technician, repairman, he's not going to let you take your item home and pay later. Generally speaking, maybe they do, some of them will send you an invoice, but this cobbler, he doesn't let people take their shoes home and come back and pay in a week. So in that instance, when he's holding the item as security, technically, he should be a shomer socher. Now, generally, when it comes to hilchos shomrim, the hilchos shomrim, the Gemara tells us, are variable. That means there's a basic set of rules. Shomer chinam is chayav X. Shomer socher, you pay the chayav Y. If you're a shoyl, you're chayav Z. But the Gemara says they're variable. Masne shomer chinam yes kishoyl. Shomer chinam can take on more responsibilities. And masne shoyl liyes kishomer chinam. A shoyl can say, I don't want responsibilities. I only want the responsibilities of shomer chinam. So the chayra, in a case when a person is technically should be a shomer socher. Why? He's got an item here. He's holding it as security. Chazal say it makes you a shomer socher. And he's being masa, and he says, I'm making condition with you. Although really I should be a shomer socher, I do not want to have the responsibilities of a shomer socher. The chayra is open and shut. Masne shoyl liyos shomer chinam. Here's a question in the portion. Can a shoyl say, I want to be even less than a shomer chinam? I do not want to have the responsibilities of even a Shem Echinom, even for Bashir, I do not want to have the responsibilities. But let's assume that one can, and the condition that he sets at the beginning is binding. And he says, I do not want to have responsibility anymore. I'm not keeping your item. And let's say he says, I won't hold it as security. And after 30 days, there's no more responsibility held. Is he now entitled to throw it away? I told you straight from the beginning, after 30 days, my element of responsibility is finished. I'm out of it. I'm not in the picture anymore. Does that allow him to throw it out? I've not got room for it. I don't want it. I did the repair. Let me get on my life. Let me get on my store and throw it out. The answer is no. You may not have responsibility, but you can't just be masking someone else's things. They still belong to the owner. They still belong to the original owner. By you throwing it out, you're destroying it. You're being masking it. There's a process. The person can let him know. He may dia him. I'm going to put it in the Rishus Rabbim. If you don't come and collect it, but you have to let him know where you're putting it. You can't just be masakim. So the fact that he said that I'm not taking responsibility doesn't allow him just to throw it out.
He said you told me to take photo of you down.
Sorry?
You said that you couldn't take any photo of you down.
Tried to get through to him, no answer. Tried to call him, no answer. Yeah.
You've got notes on the window.
So yeah, that'd be a very good advice. Put notice on the window and say that if you don't come, we throw out your shoes, or we sell your shoes, or whatever we do, whatever the policy you want. But he didn't do that. He thought that by putting that line there, or there, no responsibility, he sorted. He can do what he likes. Shoes are hefka. He can throw them out if he wants. I can sell them if I want. I can do whatever I like. They're mine. They're finished.
Is there a timeline on that where it's automatically?
He said 30 days. He wrote down 30 days. Yeah, the timeline, what do you mean? Timeline generally, yeah, no, you have to notify the person. Otherwise, if you can't hold the person, it's a shame. Raveda, you have someone else's chayfets, whatever the principles are. Yeah, you're required to have, you've got someone else's chayfets in your rishos. He's not there. Oh, that's usual. So, Pashas, in this instance, Yush won't even help you. That means, normally, you can't even assume Yush. We're talking about a Dovah Sheish by Simon. There's no reason to assume Yush has taken place. You can't assume Yush. The time has been so long. It's an umdun and a muchach that the person from Yush. Let's say we could do that. I don't even know if that would help you here. The person is a shame of socha. You're looking after someone else's chayfets. You can't be miyash and something when someone else is holding something for you. The shame of socha is acting as a managing agent for the owner. That means it's as if the owner is holding the item.
If someone gives you something to repair, you shouldn't want to repair because he wants it back after 5 years. He hasn't come for it. You will not assume it's miyash. I always forgot about
miyash. Yush is a technical term which has to follow certain rules. That means there's a yush, there's a process, and then when the terms are fulfilled, you can be koneh. I don't know if you mean yush technically speaking in the legal sense of it. You mean maybe perhaps you can assume the person doesn't want it anymore. It's a little the mochach, perhaps he doesn't want it. I don't know. He would want it, he's forgotten about it. So now, what about the argument? What about the argument that... what about the argument that... Listen, I worked for the guy. I am entitled to get my money. This is his item. So you know what? I'm going to use his item as a collateral, so to speak. I'm going to make my claim against his chayfet. I'm not going to take payment in cash. I'll take payment in shoes, computer, mixer. Is that acceptable or not? The truth is, there is no real reason why he shouldn't be able to do that. He's owed the money. Person owes him money, and he has the person's money here. The only problem is, we're going to get a question of evaluation. Who decides how much the item's worth? Okay, in that offer, there's a process. What happens? You have someone else's chayfet. You want to dispose of it. Either Shem Raveda, he's allowed to dispose of it, or whatever reason may be. Yeah, he wants to dispose of it. There's a process. There's a process of evaluation. There's a process. You can go to perhaps a Bezin Kavur Shemir. You can perhaps find three people who are Shem Terim Mitzvahs who understand the value of things to give you a value. How do you work out if there's a difference between the three opinions? There's a legal process for working out an evaluation, but you can't assume the value is the value that you choose to attach to it, or happens to be convenient for you because that was what you were supposed to be getting. And therefore, technically speaking, a person can say, I'm owed this money, I have this item, I want to dispose of it, this is the value, so if it's taka valued at $75, I'll get $75 for it, and I'll claim my $47, and I'll owe him the difference. But then, as I left the shop, I was thinking to myself, let's assume this person would go down this route. Let's assume this goes down this route. And he says, I've got this pair of shoes here. I'm owed the money. You know what? I'm going to bring it to the best thing. I'm going to bring it to three professional evaluators, and let's get a value for these shoes. What do you think is going to be the valuation for these shoes? Second-hand shoes we're talking about, yeah? Good shoes, but second-hand. So, I'm saying, if it came to come to me, second-hand shoes, I'd say, well, where do you buy second-hand shoes? Normally, you go to the charity shop or the car boot sale. You find a pair of shoes. Normally, it's probably between £2.50 and £5 for a good pair of shoes. Yeah? Well, in the second-hand shoes, how much do you get for second-hand shoes in a charity shop? When was the last time you were in a charity shop? When was the last time you were in a charity shop? I was there in the holidays. They were selling these things like 20p. It's a joke. You can buy yourself a full wardrobe for £2.50.
Branded stuff got value.
Yeah, branded, but they were second hand. They were worn shoes. You want someone else's shoes? They're worn. I don't know if people who want branded shoes.
It's got value.
Yeah. Okay, perhaps. I'm telling you. I'm telling you, these shoes, the guy presenting on the shelf, yeah, they wouldn't get $47. Yeah? You're not seeing them. Okay, fine. So we'll agree not to disagree on that point. For those shoes that are presented in front of me, yeah, you get $47. A guy's got a mixer to repair, yeah? You're not gonna get how much are you gonna get for it? It's a repair mixer on a second hand, no one knows how old it is. Yeah? So now, by doing, so now, he's got a duty of care, he's got this item, he's looking after somebody else, and his responsibility is, if he is going to dispose of it, to do the best that he can, to maximize the value. You have now a customer, he's desperate for a pair of shoes, and for him perhaps it's even taka worth $47, it may not even be unknown in those circumstances, you know, it might be a rip-off, because I taka for Lididi Shoveli, I would even have to pay $47 then. And but he's never going to get that $47, he's never going to realize that $47 if he does a proper valuation. So perhaps, faket, you're doing the fellow a toiva by the owner, and he says, you're doing the owner a toiva by buying the shoes off him, because he's maximizing the value, he's paying off the debt that Itaka has, there's no question about it, that the person who paid, who gave the person the shoes in, is responsible to pay the cobbler. Yeah, he commissioned to do the job. The person did the job. He owes him the money. He's walking around with his debt on his head. Yeah, so perhaps you do the fellow a toiva. And then, having looked it up, I realized it's not so straightforward at all. And the basis for this in Halachos, in Hilchos Pesach, comes up in two places actually. And someone's looking after an item which is chometz for somebody, and the person hasn't come to reclaim his item. And you know that in a very short time, this item is going to become worthless. So a responsibility as a shomer is to sell it. You need to wait to the last possible minute. You need to wait, see maybe the buyer is still going to come. Wait. 0 hour, just before 0 hour, go and sell it. Now what happens if I know that if I wait to 0 hour, I'm going to get a lesser value. I'm not going to get as much as if I sell it 2 hours earlier. 2 hours earlier, I can sort it out, I can deal with it properly. Is my responsibility to sell it 2 hours earlier to maximize the value? Or no, who said you've got a right to sell it at this point in time? Wait, maybe the buyer will still come? If it don't come, when you're stuck, yeah, you see, it's 0 hours, just about to be worthless. Fine, at that point you go and sell it. The big tumult, the Mishnah Berurah, says it's not straightforward at all, that you can sell it under those circumstances just to maximize the value. Because the buying haven't come, the buying can still come. So this principle, that's an idea to sell it without the proper mechanism in order to get a higher value for the owner, it's not straightforward. Be that as it may, the question was asked, what happens if there's a sign hanging in the store? I think if there's a sign hanging in the store, determines the policy. That's probably the best advice. I've seen some person go in so far as to say, since nowadays it is common practice to have a sign hanging in the store that the items will be disposed of if they're not collected, then it's understood even in circumstances where the item, there is no such sign hanging in the store. You know very well when you come into a technician or cobbler or whatever it is, if you don't take your item in time, you're running the risk of having your item disposed of. I think that's a chiddush. It's pashtus against the sugya and the halachos of Shulchan Aruch. But if it becomes a widespread understood minhag hamadina, then perhaps there is room for such an argument as well. I'd just like to finish off. Oh, I didn't mention about how much to pay. Sorry, yeah.
Correct.
Why is he mechuyev? Is he mechuyev to pay for his chapula? Is he mechuyev to pay today? Perhaps not. Perhaps not mechuyev to pay today. But even when there's no biyum tekes, he's still mechuyev to pay for pula. Even when there's no biyum tekes, he's still mechuyev to pay for his chapula. But probably because you notified him. He notifies you. Tells you come and collect within 7 days. So you agree to pay him within 7 days.
If you do.
Yeah. Okay. All right. There's also a shadow you mentioned about the fellow said, listen, it was a year ago. The price of labor changed for a year. I didn't do a job a year ago to get paid today for the prices of a year ago. So there is a mochum to say that. There's a mochum to say there's a difference between labor and materials. That means when a woman puts. Does a job, and he has to supply materials. He's repairing a computer, and he has to put in a new motherboard. So he charges the customer for the motherboard. The motherboard's he's mechuyev to pay for it. And he's mechuyev, I charge him for parts plus labor. Now, Who does that motherboard and the computer belong to? That means he bought it, it's supplied by the store, it's supplied by the technician, and it's been installed, it's been fixed into someone else's computer, and the person's not, the owner of the computer's not yet paid for it. There's a mockum to say, and there's a much more basis for it, the Sugya Kedushin, that the materials which are supplied by the umun, the worker, the materials still belong to him. Now, you're going to say to me, well, if they belong to the owner, yeah, no, I'll tell him, you know, you can keep it. Yeah, okay. There's another issue that if someone has expenditure, according to your instruction, you're mukhir to pay for that expenditure. But technically speaking, those components will still, there's an argument to say they still belong to the owner of the store. And when you come to collect it a year later, so now you're paying for the parts of now. And therefore, if the price of the motherboards have changed between now, last year and this year, the owner might be out of charge. The labor is a choiv. This month probably may not have been there, but certainly the choiv is generated by the time of the work. So therefore the labor, lechoira, it's correct to say, labor, your price per hour might have changed since last year. But you did the work last year, look at the price per hour for labor of last year. Component, well, you're taking it now. You pay that, whatever the price is now. It could be a hein lamuta, hein lara. Price might have gone up, price might have gone down.
Why is it not rivet?
If prices have gone down, there's a different argument. There's an argument of, Garami, I had expenditure according to your instruction. You see, very often, technical components will go down in price. A motherboard that last year was top of the range and cost £125, this year it's not so good anymore, it's useless. Yeah, because we've got the new motherboard Z2.5, that's amazing, and that's now worth £125, and your motherboard's only worth £25. But I spent £125 to install it. I wasn't kind of here yet.
You put the motherboard in, you
want
to call the motherboard.
Yeah, who bought it? The owner of the shop.
Yeah, bought it.
Yeah.
And he wants his money.
Yeah, he wants
it. Come a year later.
Yeah.
Say, well,
so,
why is it not rivets? Because you're charging more money for waiting a year.
It's not rivets because it's a mechira, because it's a sale taking place, at this moment in time. It was mine until now, and now it's yours.
It doesn't belong to
me. Yeah. All right, fine. So that's part of the discussion, part of the thoughts that went through my mind, and. Some of the points still remain inconclusive. I'd just like to finish off with a Dvar Torah on the Pasha.
Did you buy the shoes or
not? No, Chas v'Shalom. Yeah. But I thought to myself this would be a good Torah Eishi. I come upon him. I'd like to finish off with a Vot on the Pasha. It has a slight complexity to it, and even if some of it gets lost in the telling over, and even if it might be too complex to stay over at the Shabbos table, it's still something which is an absolute genius, and it's definitely worth hearing once in one's lifetime. It's definitely something which should be on the bucket list. This week's Pasha, the Pasha Ben Tzur Amore, Chazal tell us, Ben Tzur Amore is an interesting Pasha, according to many Shittos, Lehoyov Lehnivro. The whole purpose of the Hagel Torah Adira, which Kipshuto means the Limudim and the Torah that comes out of it. And there's taka many Limudim and all sorts of Ifanim and Chiddoch and Middus, in Shresh and Middus. The Ben Tzur Amore, he's Nerag Hashem Soifoi. You kill him, Hashem Soifoi. But Soifoi, Soifoi Lassim is Abriyos. And obviously there's a question everyone asks, how is that consistent with the principle of Ashef Hushom? One of the basic axiomatic principles is Ashef Hushom. And the Poshim asks that, and the Poshim deal with that. and I don't want to go into that, how the Bashi Hushom requires him to be killed. Bashi Hushom. And how is that considered with Nerev Hashem Soifoi? Mutav Shiyomu Zakai, Vayom Moschayev. What's Soifoi? Why is he getting killed? Soifoi Lassim is abuse. He's going to become a highwayman, he's going to rob people, he's going to kill people. So he needs to be stopped. And all the Poshim asks, Rishonim already asked the Kasha, that the Einish of a Ben Tzur Amore is Skila. The Misa that's reserved capital punishment is Skila. Someone who kills somebody, not Skila. Herod, Saif. Everyone agrees that Skila is a more homodica type of Misa than Herod. And we use it as a yardstick. for Sadan Averis to see what's more chomo and what's less chomo. We see if the misa is skila, it's considered more chomo than something else. What's the shot? You're not going to see him, because you're not killing people. So why give him skila? Well, what's the shot on that? So Maral Diskin says a brilliant teretz. And it's based on a Tosis in Sanhedrin Daf Pei Aleph. The Tosis in Sanhedrin Pei Aleph asks a question. The Gemara says that what happens when a person has done two averus, each one of which has its own capital punishment. You have to kill him for two different reasons. What do you do? So then it becomes important to know which misa is more chomo. You can only kill him once, obviously. So you're going to give him the more severe, whatever's considered the more severe type of misa. If you have a choice of two, you're going to have to suffer the one which is more severe. That's the Gemara, that's the Halacha. So Tosis has a problem with it. Tosis has a problem. And Tosis' problem is as follows. We know that when you give Eidos, every Eidos has to withstand the test. That test is called the test of Yochel Lahazimo. Eidim give Eidos in front of Beis Din, there's a test that these Eidim have to pass. Can this Einish that they're trying to inflict on this defendant, can that rebound on them? Is there a possibility that Eidim will come along and say, Imonu Hisem, your Eidos is wrong, you are with us. And the Torah requires in those circumstances that the Einish that they were trying to meet out rebounds back on the Eidim themselves. If they can't pass that test, then invalidates the Eidos. So it could be it can't pass that test for all number of various reasons. It could be there's a defense that the Eidim will be able to present to extricate themselves from the Einish rebounding onto themselves. But for one reason or another, the Hazama will fail against them, the Eidos collapses. So for example, you can't give Eidos against a Trefa that he's Chayav Misa. Can't give it. You give Eidos about so and so. He was Mechal Shabbos, whatever he was. He's Chayav Skila. You can't give Eidos about it. Why not? Because that Eidos won't stand the test of Yochel Azimo. You can never rebound that on the Eidim. Why not? Because they have a defense. You're going to try and kill. Let's say the Eidim Taka are proved to be Zomim, and now we try and impose that Einish on them. They have to be killed. They say, hold on 1 minute. We've got a defense. What's the defense? So we actually weren't trying to kill a healthy person. We're a person, we were trying to kill a Dreyfus. Dreyfus, technically, halachically, is considered a Garba Katila. He doesn't have a full life. So, now you're going to kill us. We are healthy people. So by killing the Eidim, you're doing to us, more to us than we were trying to do to this defendant. That's not Hazama. So there's no way that you can fulfill Hazama. You can no way execute Hazama on these Eidim. So over the Zayi, the Eidim falls apart. We just can't have Eidim. That Dreyfus can't be some. With that introduction, Tosis asks this kasha. Tosis asks this kasha. I've got a fellow who comes from the Beis Din. I've got two sets of Eidim. One says he's chayev because of this, and one says he's chayev because of that. One says he's chayev hereg, and one says he's chayev skila. Skila is more chomo. I'm going to have to do skila. So Tosis says, let's apply the test. Will these Eidim pass the test? The test is, it has to be able to rebound against them. Ve'um mechayev skila. Can they end up in a position where they themselves are going to suffer the injury of Skila because they were Zomim? They've got a defense. Even if we wouldn't have said he's Chayav Skila, there's two other Eidim saying he's Chayav Hereg. The guy is a dead man. We were killing a dead man. You can't do anything to us. So you want to kill us? Don't say we're Chayav Misa. What were we trying to do with? We said, no, not Hereg, Skila. Okay, fine, but you can't kill us on that basis. Why does the Eidos not fall apart? Says Tosis, do you know why the Eidos has strength? I'll be 2 minutes, I started late. Yeah? Why does the Eidos not fall apart? Says Tosis, no. It's not a valid defense. You can't say you are killing a dead person. Why? What's your basis for saying you're killing a dead person? Because another two sets of Eidos saying that he was Chayav Misa. If those Eidim would fall apart, the whole onus would rely on you. That means you are willing to take on the whole onus and responsibility of being the Chayav person's Skila. There are alaydims, true. They may have fallen apart, they may have been validated, they may not have been validated. Nonetheless, you were taking on the whole responsibility of skila. Fine. That's choices. Says Maral Diskin, let me ask you a question. A person kills somebody, he's chayav herik. What happens if he kills two people? Still chayav herik. Hayy tochen. He's killed one person, he's chayav herik. He's killed two people, killing two people is worse than killing one person. He kills three people, what happens to him? Kills 10 people, what happens to him? Kills 100 people, what happens to him? Same thing, hayy tochen. Says the Maral Diskin, what do you want me to do? Well, up at a level. You can up it. We've got Shreifa, we've got Skila, we've got options which are available to us. Says the Maral Diskin, there's no options available to you. Why not? Because if that were to be the case, that a person who kills several times his Misa is more chomo, you would have Tosus Kasha without his terrors. Tosus says that if you want to make someone Chaya Misa more severe, and you want to impose a more severe Misa on somebody who's Chaya Misa, that's only if they accept the whole onus of that responsibility. And you can say to them, without anyone else, you are Mechayim Im Skila. Now, assume if a person kills once, he's Chayav Herik. And if he kills twice, he's Chayav Skila. So now, the second time is Mechayav Skila. Can you say to the second set of Eidim, you took on the whole onus or responsibility of Skila? If the first Eidim were to fall apart, you were taking on that responsibility of Mechayav Skila? Because if the first set of Eidim were to fall apart, then he only killed once. He's not Chayav Skila anymore. He's Chayav Herik. So there, being Mechayav Skila is jointly related to the fact that he was already Chayav Herik. It can't work. It doesn't work for technical reasons. But in theory, there should be some way of increasing the Misa from Herik to Skila for someone who kills multiple times. Make it worse for him. He's done something more severe. But there's a technicality. The technicality of the whole thing falls apart. So that's where this game, that's all very well normally. When it comes to Ben Sura Moira, where's the Eidim that he's going to kill? Where's the Eidim that he's killed? Where's the Eidim? Rachel says, I'm telling you he's killed. I'm telling you he's killed once. I'm going to tell you he's killed twice, maybe three times. Eidshach Lazima. Don't worry about Eidshach Lazima. I'm telling you. Yeah. Bezoi, if he kills many times, Nachalabi. Normally somebody kills Herig, kills Yechavit, only Herig. Kills twice, also. Kills three, also. Nothing we can do. But here the Rachel's telling you, no. I'm telling you to kill once. I'm telling you to kill twice. I'm going to kill that 100 times. This fellow needs skila. Thank you for listening.
Yeah. One question. You've got a couplet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Why?
That
wasn't that one. What you told me?
All the stuff.
What you
got a
couple of things.
You
didn't need
the no, they had to find out who all the shoes belong to, and if they don't come to dispose of
them,
then they have to take on responsibility. If you can't find it, yeah.